Money Talk.
This is Akashwani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on key aspects of India-US bilateral trade agreement. The participants are Prabhu Dayal, former ambassador, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
Today we focus game-changing milestone for India's economy, a landmark India-US trade victory that unlocks access to a USD 30 trillion American markets for our exporters across key sectors. To decode the fine print and the big picture, we are joined by someone who has watched India's commercial diplomacy from the inside and at the highest levels. Ambassador Prabhu Dayal, thank you very much for joining us on Money Talk.
Well, thanks for inviting me to your discussion.
Ambassador Dayal, to begin with, how would you characterize this India-US trade pact in strategic terms? Do you see it as a tactical interim deal or a structural reset in the bilateral economic relationship?
Well, the India-US interim trade agreement functions as a strategic recalibration rather than just a tactical stopgap, which would be aimed at aligning economic ties with shared security interests to build resilient supply chains. So while addressing immediate tariff disputes, it acts as a foundational agreement for a broader, more deeply integrated economic relationship between the two nations. As we all know, the agreement lowers tariffs on Indian goods from 50% to 18%, reducing trade volatility and signaling a shift towards long-term, predictable, and cooperative trade. So this agreement will serve to stabilize the bilateral relationship by reducing tensions, aligning economic policy with defense and geopolitical goals, and reducing India's reliance on or susceptibility to certain geopolitical risks. So the framework emphasizes strengthening critical supply chains and increasing cooperation in technology, and therefore it positions itself as a significant step towards deeper economic integration.
Okay, so in practical terms, Ambassador, what does that figure really mean, which is the USD 30 trillion US markets that we are talking about? What does it really mean for India's export growth over the next 5 to 10 years?
You know, the trade agreement with the US means a lot to India. It is a landmark deal, which reduces tariffs, as I said earlier, from 50% to 18%. And that will happen on roughly about US dollars, $30.94 billion in exports, and will bring in US dollars over $10 billion worth of exports to zero duty. The fact that such a large quantum of our exports, worth over $10 billion, will have zero duty is something that will work greatly to our advantage. So the agreement will provide a major boost to labor-intensive industries like textiles, apparel, leather, footwear, toys and gems and jewelry, and key agricultural exports, including, for instance, spices, tea, coffee and fruit, will enjoy zero-duty treatment. So this deal is expected to create lakhs of jobs, particularly for women and youth, and will boost the manufacturing capabilities of the MSMEs. So the framework encourages deeper integration in digital and high-tech sectors. This agreement, I think, will ensure a predictable long-term trade relationship with the U.S. and provide stability for Indian exporters.
You also mentioned a bit on the 50% reduction to roughly about 18% reduction in many lines, or even zero in some categories. How does this tariff restructuring translate into hard on-the-ground competitiveness for Indian exporters?
Well, you know, the reduction of U.S. tariffs on Indian goods from 50% to 18%, and as I pointed out, with some categories reaching zero, will translate into significant on-the-ground competitiveness by restoring price parity, improving margins, and accelerating export volumes for key labor-intensive industries. This shift effectively reverses the impact of last year's trade war and will place Indian products at a competitive advantage over rivals in Vietnam, Bangladesh, and China. With the removal of the 25% punitive duty, which was previously linked to Russian oil purchases, Indian exporters can price their products more competitively without shrinking their profit margins, which had been severely impacted by the 50% tariff regime. So the 18% cap specifically benefits sectors that are major employers, including textiles, leather, gems and jewelry, and home decor, and will allow them to regain their market share in the United States.
Okay, you mentioned about gems and jewelry and the rest of the other verticals. How does this agreement deepen the advantages that, or the strengths, the structural strengths that India already possess in these sectors?
Let me put it this way. The three sectors, I think, that stand to gain the most in terms of immediate and tangible benefits are textiles and apparel, healthcare, and gems and jewelry. Now, there are existing structural strengths in the Indian labor-intensive sectors. For instance, in the textiles and apparel sector, we have a comprehensive value chain. India possesses a strong, integrated textile value chain, ranging from fiber and yarn to finished garments and home textiles. There is also a very important fact relating to raw material availability. You know, large-scale cotton production and a growing manpower-made fiber base provides a reliable raw material supply. Then, of course, there is this aspect of specialization. India is a global leader in cotton knitwear, especially in hubs like Tripur, and home decor, including products like carpets and man-made products, which are like makeups and bedspreads. So we come now to leather and footwear. Here again, India is a global hub for leather and produces about 3 billion square feet of leather annually with a robust and eco-sustainable tanning base. So the fact that raw material and the tanning base exists in such very, very strong fashion gives an advantage. It gives a structural strength. Then, of course, there is this aspect of manufacturing capacity. India is the second largest global producer of footwear.
Ambassador Dayal, you mentioned three sectors, textiles and apparel, gems and jewelry, and healthcare. We would like you to elaborate a little bit on the healthcare sector as to how it will benefit from this deal.
You know, the deal secures zero duty access for generic drugs and essential pharmaceutical ingredients. You know, India is known as the pharmacy of the world. And this pharmacy will see immediate margin expansion for major FDA-approved manufacturers as high tariff barriers are removed. So there is already a lot of excitement in the pharmaceutical and healthcare sector regarding the prospects which the deal has for them in terms of increased prospects.
Let's come to agriculture, which is both politically and socially sensitive in India. How has the agreement managed the balance between expanding export opportunities for Indian farmers and protecting them from sudden import surges or unfair competition?
You know, protecting highly sensitive sectors like dairy, meat, poultry, and cereals is critical for India's food security and rural livelihood, as these areas employ 58% of the population. Now, these red lines safeguard smallholder incomes, prevent market destabilization, and ensure domestic self-sufficiency in essential commodities. So by protecting these sectors, India prevents imports from undermining local prices, shielding farmers from volatility. Since rural communities heavily depend on these specific sectors for income, protecting them from competition is essential for livelihood stability. So the red lines are part of a strategic approach to trade that allows for increased export potential, for example, in spices, tea, and textiles, while ensuring that critical sectors with high domestic employment and consumption are not compromised. And I'm happy to observe that in the trade deal, adequate protection has been given to the sectors relating to our agriculture, which are very sensitive for us.
So, Ambassador, certain agricultural lines like the spices, tea, coffee, fruits, nuts, and processed foods are reportedly getting improved or even zero duty access. Which specific agri-value chains do you think could emerge as big winners in the U.S. markets?
You know, several agri-value chains are poised to emerge as big winners in the U.S. market. This deal, which covers about 1 billion Indian agricultural exports, it now grants duty-free access to many products, strengthening India's competitive advantage. As one of the primary beneficiaries, Indian spices, including cumin, turmeric, and pepper, will enjoy zero duties, allowing them to compete more effectively against other suppliers who face higher tariffs than the U.S., example, Vietnam, at 20%. Now, a key advantage is that the U.S. is a high-demand, high-value market for premium spice products, and specific spices from India have carved out a niche for themselves in the U.S. market and will continue to do well because of the advantages which the new trade deal gives to them. Then another product is fresh fruits, particularly, say, mangoes, bananas, guavas, papayas, and pineapples. These are also on the list for zero duty access. Another item would be processed products, particularly fruit pulps, juices, and jams, which are getting zero duty access. And then, of course, items like tea and coffee, including their extracts, which are also set for zero duty access to the United States. So these are the agri-value chains, I think, which are poised to emerge as big winners in the U.S. market.
Okay, Ambassador, at the same time, there is a clear intent to protect highly sensitive sectors such as the dairy, meat, poultry, and cereals, which you have touched upon as well. How important were these red lines in ensuring that India's rural economy and food security concerns are not compromised?
You know, the agreement seeks to balance agricultural interests by employing a calibrated sensitivity-based approach. It aims to expand export opportunities through lower tariffs in the U.S. market while shielding sensitive domestic sectors from import surges via a carefully crafted exemption list. To prevent sudden import surges or unfair competition, the government has taken several defensive measures. Then, of course, there are certain rigid import controls. The agreement ensures that no tariff concessions have been granted for agricultural products from U.S. farmers entering the Indian market for many sensitive categories.
Okay.
There is also this aspect of limited import quotas. So these are some of these safety measures which have been put in place. And I think the deal allows for the use of trade defense instruments like anti-dumping or countervailing duties to tackle unfair trade and a bilateral safeguard mechanism if imports cause serious injury to domestic industry.
On that note, Ambassador Dayal, we would like to thank you very much for those invaluable insights and for helping us understand not just the promise but also the responsibilities that come with this landmark trade opening. Thank you so much for being with Akashvani.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on key aspects of India-U.S. bilateral trade agreement. The participants were Prabhu Dayal, former ambassador, and Rajesh Leek, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Money Talk.